Today we kick off our Lenten sermon series going through the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus starts talking about blessings. That's how it begins. We'll hear that in just a second, but as a way of introduction, I want to talk about a couple different ways we use that word. I want to give you a couple stories here, and the first one is most certainly a secular understanding of what it means to be blessed. You all know about the island of Cyprus in the Mediterranean. Anybody been there? Oh, you guys have? Cool. So you already know all of this. Cyprus was believed to be, in Roman and Greek mythology, the birthplace of the goddess Venus or Aphrodite. So, of course, a birthplace like that would be the most incredible place in the world, right? Roman mythological tradition says that Venus was born from the foam of the sea and carried onto the beach of Paphos on the southwestern coast and landed upon a rock near the beach, made her way to shore, and ever since her presence has been venerated in this beautiful location. The island was made a holy place. But that's just the beginning of the Cyprus story. The Greek word for the island is Makarios, which means blessed, or the happy isle, the blessed isle. It's a sacred place. Outside of that mythology, it's a beautiful place. Is it beautiful? Yeah, good. I'm glad I have a couple people here who've been there. Apparently, it's nearly a perfect place, at least it's thought to be. Oral tradition in Greece established the amazing nature of this island. It brought life to so many people. In ancient times, it was thought to be the most gorgeous place on the planet. The climate there is incredible, even better than here. It's like 75 during the day and 57 at night. That's 9 months out of the year. It's like that. In the summer, for a couple months, it might get up to the low 90s and down to the 70s, which, you know, we're familiar with. In the winter, it gets all the way down to the 60s. And so again, with the climate and then with the scenery, the beaches, the rock formations, the beauty that's everywhere, and then you've got the people who had to make a living on the island. This is an agrarian society for the longest time. And they figured out that the soil, the mineral count in the soil made it almost perfect, where they could grow really anything they wanted to, but especially citrus crops, cereal-type grains were abundant on the island because the nutrients were just so perfect. So the people who were living in this beautiful, perfectly soiled location with the best climate on the planet and beauty everywhere that was so amazing, it was thought to be the birthplace of a Greek-Roman goddess. Everyone who lived there was thought to be blessed because they had everything. Talk about the good life. They had everything, not just for an okay life, but for the best life, the perfect life, the happy life, the blessed life. Thus the name Makarios. I want to tell you another story. I was 18 on a mission trip to Mexico, and I met a family there. We were building a house for them, and pretty medium-sized house for the standards of the area. It was 8 by 10. That's feet, not yards or meters or anything. 8 by 10 square foot house, 80 square feet. And we're building it for this family, the dad and the mom, and they had 8 children. Of course, okay, listen, like in tiny villages in Mexico and other, you know, third world areas, it's, you know, birth control is not something they have, and so they have a lot of kids, and they were going to just kind of stack up and sleep in there. The 8 by 10 house was awesome compared to where they were living on the side of a hill. They had dug out a whole stacked up old used tires and put a piece of plywood over it. It leaked a bit in the rainy season, mudslides and whatnot. It was cold down there and hot.
And these people didn't have like clean water, so they had to wait for the water truck to come around every week. And if it was late, they just didn't have water for that day. They didn't have a lot of food. Again, shelter spotty at best. And you know what the dad kept telling me? He's a hardworking guy. He's out there working probably like 12, 14, 16-hour days as a laborer, carpenter, worked with stone, and his tools had been stolen not too long ago. And you know what he kept telling me? It's like, man, we are so blessed. And I was like, are you out of your mind? I just came from San Diego. I came from La Jolla, which is like the Cypress of California. And I'm complaining because I didn't get a second cheeseburger at dinner last night. And your family doesn't eat every day. And that's the word he kept using. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. That's a lot more akin to what Jesus is talking about when he uses the word blessings. It's not about something we can see and touch and feel. We talk about blessed like having the stuff to make the perfect life. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Now today, as I talk about blessings, I don't want you to hear from me. Did my mic just go out? Huh. Oh, it's out of batteries. I better stick around here. If anybody has an 9-volt around, come run it up to me. Where were we? Blessings. We have stuff. We're Americans. We've got all kinds of good stuff, a lot of it in abundance, okay? Every one of us here is doing okay. Let's not kid ourselves. I'm not here today to make anybody feel bad about the stuff we have, the stuff we've worked really hard for. That's not what we're talking about. I just think that when we talk about blessings, we talk about it often from a worldly perspective, and we communicate that. And today I want to talk about it from a biblical perspective. So please don't be thinking I'm being hard on us for having, because we live in America. It's one of the wealthiest countries in the world. But I just think we need to think about blessings differently. So again, that's where Jesus starts with the Sermon on the Mount. During Lent, we're going to be going through the sermon piece at a time, as found in the Gospel of Matthew. And I think the sermon really looks at several aspects of our Christian lives, and it provides us a lens by which we can see our daily lives and be able to differentiate what we're called to as Christians and what sets us apart from the secular world. So to open the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus flips the concept of blessing, and he gives us a new way to imagine ourselves being blessed. So consequently, that has nothing to do with how nice our life is and how good we have it. Listen to Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 3. Let's hear God's word. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. I didn't hear too many amens out there. It's because it doesn't sound good. That's not what we talk about in the world when we're talking about being blessed. It sounds less like blessings and more like a whole lot of good reasons to complain and stop doing what we're doing. But blessing is not about what we can see and touch and feel and experience. It's about God doing some deep work inside of us. It's about our hearts being transformed. It's about us being set apart and being different. And so in that sense, maybe sometimes we need the tough stuff to come our way to transform us and shape us into who Christ wants and needs us to be. Now, before we get too deeply into the scripture, I want to highlight something that Matthew does here. It's very unique. Matthew's gospel is written at the time from a perspective of ministering and sharing the good news with the Jewish culture in Israel. And some of the other gospels were written to be spread out into other parts, but Matthew is concerned with people who grew up in the faith, grew up in the Jewish faith, have heard about God, have read the scriptures, Jesus has come along, and people are struggling as to what they're going to buy into from this Jesus character. Matthew, the whole time, is trying to bridge the gap between what they've heard, that we would refer to as the Old Testament, and what the New Testament looks like, and that's all one cohesive story from God's perspective. So Matthew starts Jesus preaching on a mountain. Now, the Luke version of this preaching is out on the plains. And I'm not saying that either one of those is bad or good or better than the other. It's just different settings. Jesus preached in both of those settings plenty, okay? He preached everywhere. But Matthew uses the mountain, and he does so in order to evoke for people the image of Moses being up on the mountain, being up on Mount Sinai, receiving from God the commandments, sharing the word of God with the people in a very powerful way. So when Matthew places Jesus on the mountain to preach, he's continuing the story from Moses, who gave people the old covenant, to the new covenant that is found in Jesus Christ. It's a connected story. It's not a separate story. It's one message of God's enduring love. So where does Jesus go with this sermon? We're just going to focus on the opening today. The teaching is about blessings, and these blessings don't come easily. This is a key concept in the life of the Israelites. And by blessing, we have to remember that Jesus here is talking about holy action from God. It's not going to be something external, but rather something internal and spiritual that shapes us on this faith journey into who we are becoming, which is better than who we were. A blessing is not going to be something, like I've said, that we can touch and see and feel. It's going to be something deep-seated inside of us that brings a satisfaction that doesn't come from the world. But in reality, sometimes getting there can be difficult in the here and now. The Beatitudes, blessings in a general sense, are nothing new in Scripture. They pop up all over the Old Testament, especially in the wisdom books. Proverbs 3:13 said, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding." Proverbs 28:14 says, "Blessed is the one who always trembles before God." With that said, Old Testament blessings were intended to be something the person could do right then and there. And the big difference with these new blessings, as Jesus is offering them, is that they have an eternal aspect. Jesus is suggesting that the difficulties of today, and we've all got them, when endured with faith and trust, will usher in a new reality that we can call a blessing. Now let's begin with the blessing of the poor in spirit. This is a phrase that goes back even into the Old Testament, often referring to exiles from Israel. The exiles were kicked out of their hometown. Their temple was destroyed. Their homes were ruined. Their families were separated. They were moved far away, and they never knew if or when they were coming home. Poor in spirit refers to somebody who feels like everything in life is just a mess, but they haven't allowed their faith and trust in God to waver at all. If we think about it, each of our lives have their points of difficulty. At times, maybe you're sitting here today feeling like, man, my life is a mess right now. But The poor in spirit don't allow their faith in God, their trust in God, to be shaken. And so they are blessed because their faith endures. Next, we get to the mourners. Blessed are those who mourn. This harkens back to Isaiah. The Old Testament prophet was brought to those who mourned the destruction of the first temple. Little do Jesus' followers know that the temple of his body will be destroyed by a cursed death, death on a cross. And yet, Jesus teaches that those who mourn will find joy because a new day comes. The first temple will be replaced in history by another. The old covenant is replaced by a new covenant. The earthly life will be replaced by an eternal life. Next, we get to the meek, who shall possess the land and have prosperity and abundance. They may have very little power and possession now, but the promise is that that will change in an eternal perspective. And lastly, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This sets apart those who live their lives on the straight and narrow for the Lord versus those who enjoy the pleasures of this world at any cost. So Jesus kicks off by blessing a bunch of people who we don't think of as blessed at all, because we have our sense of blessing messed up. It's switched around. When we think about being blessed, we think about what we have and how much of it we have. But when Jesus talks about us being blessed, he's talking about blessings in light of what we don't have, the things in our lives that need to change and be transformed as we are shaped and molded into his likeness. Jesus goes on to teach this. The merciful will be shown mercy. The thing is, he's not talking about earth necessarily. The pure will truly see God. Again, not necessarily here on earth. The peacemakers will have true peace. Again, not here on earth. And the persecuted will inherit the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about here at all. We spend so much of our lives focused on our blessings and the here and now that we spend our lives trying to obtain what we don't have. And in doing so, we can so easily miss the point of what Jesus means when he's talking about being blessed. Being blessed means to be emptied. Emptied of the stuff that's not working. So it can be replaced by something that is more connected to God. In that, we're satisfied no matter what we have here and now. It gets me back to that family in Mexico. He always told me how blessed he was. He was so certain God never leaves us, even on our hardest days. And I wish I had like an ounce of that faith. What do you mean God never leaves you? Look at your life. It's terrible. Oh, my life is blessed. He was growing every single day. Trusting in God, never wavering. See, being fulfilled in the big picture of God's kingdom isn't about worrying about these temporary lives we have here, because true blessing isn't really meant for today. It's meant for forever. And I guess what we learn from Jesus here is that to be truly blessed is to take a walk down the road he walked down. A road that led him to ultimate intimacy with God the Father. A road that led him to complete and total trust, even when nothing was making sense. The same road took him to the cross, but it also led him beyond the cross to the resurrected life. So our spiritual life, our Christian journey, and especially during this Lenten season, we realize the blessings of God not because of what we have, but what we lack inside. And how God wants to reshape us and remold us and transform us so that we have those things as we draw nearer to him. It has to do everything with becoming who we are called to be. So during this season, I hope you'll reflect on your blessings. Reflect on the shortcomings. Reflect on the hardships. And reflect on the fact that God's love and transforming power never leaves us. And remember to rejoice. If you were here on Ash Wednesday, give a cheer. Rejoice. Because our true reward is in the making. Amen.